You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mike Swanson, editor of WallStreetWindow.com. Welcome back to the show, Mike.
Oh, it's great to talk with you. Interesting couple weeks since we last spoke.
How is the U.S. stock market reacting to all the different trade wars that President Trump is getting your country into?
Well, the S&P 500 hit an all-time high about a month ago, 3 weeks ago. And since then, it's been dropping. I don't think we're in a bear market, but more of a correction in the market, which overall, if I forget about the news stories, doesn't shock me. The stock market has gone up 20% back-to-back years twice. So I wasn't expecting the market to really do much, but kind of churn. It's highly valued already. So in that context, I thought we would probably see at some point a 10% decline, and it may bounce, and make a new high and then do this again. I think we're going to have really sloppy action in the financial markets, and it probably will be linked to changing policies, volatile news, headlines coming from Washington, D.C. As things stand now, though, many stocks are down quite a bit. The NVIDIA is down a lot from its high. Tesla is around $260. It was $490 in December. The NASDAQ tried to bounce a week ago on Friday off of its 200-day moving average, which typically is a long-term buy point in a bull market. But this week, it went above it for a day. And as we're talking, it's below that level. And it looks like, at the moment, for the short term, the selling may be picking up a bit. However, one thing that also is taking place is the VIX, the Volatility Index, which measures the premium that option traders are paying for S&P 500 puts. It tends to go up when they panic, when they scramble to hedge themselves, and sharp increases in the VIX tend to coincide with market bottoms, like panic washouts. And as we're speaking, it's been going up this week. If it were to go up 20% at this point in a day, I think it's a good chance that would mark an end to the current decline in the market. The last time the VIX had such a spike, it was actually bigger than 20%, but it was back in December, the day the market had a big tumble, and then before that, in August, when there was also a bigger tumble that would happen in December. So in one sense, many stuff has fallen, corrected. However, I do have some hope because of the VIX, that we are closer to the end of this correction than we were at the beginning of this week, and it maybe ends tomorrow or next week. I just have to play this or watch it day by day. At the same time, one thing that also has occurred is there are signs of economic weakness now. Payroll reports have come in below expectations. And a year ago, the yield curve in the treasury bond market, that's the difference between the 2-year and 10-year bond yields, it inverted and then came back to positive, inverted several years ago, and it went positive last fall before the Federal Reserve meeting. That move has been, in the financial markets, the most accurate indicator of a coming recession, typically 6 months later. Now, as New Year's came, there are no signs of recession, and I wondered if the indicator was wrong, frankly. The stock market also, in the past, would fall into recessions. It didn't do that. But now, it does seem like there's some sort of recession, hopefully short-lived now, in the United States. The St. Louis Federal Reserve has a live GDP estimate, and it's showing that a contraction of around 2.8% in the first quarter. Of course, those numbers are live. They change day by day, but negative growth. We haven't seen a negative quarter now in 3 years. So it does seem like there's a softening in the economy. The stock market is likely falling as a result. However, this is unlike the past. I have a thesis that since 2020, a lot of things in the markets, the way they operate, have changed. And to me, this is evidence of that. If the market does succeed in putting in a bottom here and then rallying, it would tell me that this is different than before 2020, in the sense that, you know, the market wouldn't have fallen that much or even into a soft economy. So I think that would set the stage for an overall still bullish environment for the next couple of years, and then a final horrible bear market when the U.S. Debt just grows and grows and becomes unsustainable. We have a real problem with that. Everyone in the United States and probably outside the United States saw the Oval Office meeting a couple weeks ago with Elon Musk and his child and Trump in the Oval Office. And Musk stated that he was helping Trump make these cuts to the budget because the country was on the path to bankruptcy. And I agree with that. But that's not today. That's a couple years from now. So I think that's a long-term risk. And I don't, if things stabilize in the markets, that's in the future. But unfortunately, from the standpoint of the budget deficit, Musk's cuts aren't going to be enough. I want to go on and on about it. I'll just talk about one example. They're planning to cut the budget of the Defense Department by 8%, which is necessary. There are many defense programs that are a complete waste of money and don't really have any even military utility. The F-22 jet, the literal combat naval vessel. I mean, billions are dumped into just those two programs alone, and the latter is on the chopping block. However, the overall defense budget is not planned to be decreased, despite the 8% cut. They're also planning to increase spending by about 10% in the Defense Department. Many of the money is likely to go to SpaceX and Bezos' company in a project to create what Trump is calling a golden dome missile defense. So, we're going to have tax cuts. The things Trump is doing that are good, but, anyone who, thinks this is an easy ride is out of their mind. And, honestly, talking like this is very difficult in the United States, and people don't want to hear it. But one thing that's happened is that Trump has emerged, I think, as the greatest salesman for both Bitcoin and gold that we have seen. Central banks around the world have been accumulating gold for the past couple of years, and that trend's going to only continue, and gold is now outperforming the S&P 500. And this week, the U.S. dollar index has dumped, while the euro has made a jump. The Japanese yen is rising, and European stock markets are outperforming the United States now. Priced in American dollars, the German stock market made a new all-time high this week. So in a certain sense, I think very slowly money is, if you think of this is a global financial system, there's money, being more invested now outside the United States, maybe even leaving the United States, with the U.S. dollar index going down like it has been. It's really down since this first week of January. So I think there's opportunities, to invest that are better now than NVIDIA, the S&P 500, gold being the one I'm, you know, most invested in and bullish about. But there's, you know, all kinds of stuff you can think and research outside the box in other countries and so forth.
Gold and silver, how are they doing?
Well, silver is doing good too. Silver, I think, is going to break out and make new highs, or go through the high last year, in the next couple months. The mining stocks are picking up steam too. But I think it's important to also note that over the past couple of years, people have tried to position or say that Bitcoin is an alternative to gold and silver. And as I mentioned before, you know, Trump has become a big salesperson for the crypto market. Early this week, he set up a crypto reserve fund, placing several meme coins into it, along with Bitcoin. And of course, he created a Trump coin the week he swore himself in, got sworn in as president, along with a Melania coin. But I think what people should do is look at how these coins trade, and then compare that to how gold and silver trade. So when the Trump meme coin was created, it had an initial surge and then collapsed. And now this week, when the crypto reserve was announced, the crypto market gapped up and then sold off. And as I'm speaking, you know, Bitcoin is remains below its it's 150-day and 50-day moving average. It's the problem with the coins is the virtual coins is that they represent ownership and nothing in the real world. They're not safe havens. They're speculative instruments. They're backed by nothing. So when there is volatility in the markets, there's no reason for people to be in them. It may be the first thing some people sell, especially if they invested in them with Bitcoin ETFs kind of without much thought, except that they would go up, and now they're not. So, you know, gold and silver, they're pump and dumps, these meme coins, and, you know, the crypto reserve gets announced, they pump and then they dump, and that's what they do. So hopefully more and more people are going to wake up to that and get out of them and get into gold and silver, find things, if anything, stocks that, you know, represent shares of companies that have stable earnings and dividends. But you got to find where that stability is in a world that's more unstable, and it's not just tariffs or the United States, for that matter, but, you know, the United States, global tensions are increasing, you know, with Canada, Mexico, Greenland. Trump, on his inaugural, reiterated his claim on Greenland and said, you know, he's going to take it. At the same time, tensions with Europe and the United States have increased, while they have gotten better with Russia. So we're in a world much different than it was a couple of weeks ago. I'm not saying it's better. I'm not saying it's worse. I'm just trying to describe what is going on so people can adapt to the current situation. The idea of what academics call liberal internationalism, which was born in World War II, or perhaps Woodrow Wilson if you go back before that, but really became a power in the world with the United Nations being created, NATO, and so forth. It's Henry Luce, who was the owner of Time Life magazine, penned an article in his magazine, said the American century, how predicting how the United States would be the unipolar superpower of the world, leading the free world, that world order has disintegrated in the past couple weeks since we last spoke. That's what the importance, I think, of the meeting that got a lot of news of Trump and Zelensky signifies. So we're in a whole new world now, and, you know, what's going to happen with the U.S. dollar as a reserve currency? Well, it's not going to go away tomorrow. It's not going to stop acting as the reserve currency tomorrow, but more and more countries are going to interact more with each other than just the United States now. because they're being forced to do so with a more aggressive, intense posture that the country is taking on them.
We'll have more with Mike Swanson right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mike Swanson. Mike, you said the German stock market set a record high. Any other so-called foreign markets popping up where they hadn't been very active in recent times?
Well, a lot are actually. Most European countries are doing so. The Greek stock market, for example, is up. There's an ETF for Greece trading at 46. It was at 37, and it's up year to date. While the S&P 500 is down year to date, many markets are up. Japan is another one. You know, it's trading at a 52-week high. And another market I think everyone pretty much ignores is China. You know, China had a horrible bear market that for several years. It really ended last year in September. That market had a big surge in that, you know, almost a straight up move in 10 days in September. It's been going sideways ever since then. And, you know, it looks to me like it's probably going to rally here for the rest of the year, at least. So, and the same is probably going to, if that happens, and many countries are going to do that. Singapore is another one that's trading at a 52-week high, priced in U.S. dollars. The ETF for that is EWS. So, you know, it's countries all over the world is trading better than the S&P 500 now.
Mike, is there anything like a so-called safe haven if you have volatile times in the investment market?
Well, I mean, traditionally the safe haven, of course, has been bonds. I would say, but you can't really invest in long-term bonds anymore because of this looming debt crisis. And that's why in 2022, when the stock market had a bear market, bonds fell too. You know, the treasury bond market fell with the stock market, something it hadn't done since the 1970s. So bond funds are awful. However, you know, you can have a safe haven in the sense of if you want something that's not going to move, money market or very short-term bonds, you know, 2 or 3 month treasuries or 6 months where you're not trying to sell it, you're just going to let the bonds expire and get the interest. But beyond that, it's really gold, frankly, that's the next, you know, the best safe haven. But you are going to have, you know, gold's in a bull market. It broke through 2100 last year, but it's going to have its pullbacks. You know, 5% dip in gold is no big deal. Even 10%, I don't think that's going to happen from where it is now, but you're going to get your drawdowns, sideways times. And we had that last year from November to the end of January. So you have to deal with that. So I think the answer really for safety is diversification. It's very difficult to put all your money in one thing that can decline 10%, especially the older you get. So I wouldn't put everything I have in a gold and silver. But personally, I got about 30% in them myself. And I run a calculation a couple years ago in the 1970s. If the U.S. dollar index were to fall 50%, which is basically what happened in the 1970s, it would take about a 25% ownership in gold to not simply suffer from the decline of the U.S. dollar index as an American, but to benefit, you know, overall with the rise in gold, takes about 25% position. A 10% position is what one would consider protection. So gold is a way to hedge against currency risk. and maybe a small amount in bonds and so forth, and or money markets, so you can deploy that money when there are dips and you see in something you like to buy, and then the rest, I guess, in various stock investments. But I would not consider having all my money in the S&P 500 or just only American stocks as an American. A good thing to do, and foreigners already are investing in more than just the United States. But this is a message I feel good to tell you and your listeners, but I'm very hesitant to keep talking like this way in the United States. I may stop doing so completely at some point.
Mike, always fun chatting with you.
Thank you. Good to talk with you.
My guest has been Mike Swanson, editor of WallStreetWindow.com. If you have any questions for Mike or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com and we'll ask that question for you. Find us on X at How Street. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.